The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Happy Friday to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting from our flagship radio station, KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee, border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. And we've got a lot to talk about today. Some great guests coming up as well, including one of my favorite musical artists, a guy by the name of Colton Dixon. You might remember him from the American Idol days. Colton Dixon is going to be here in just a little while. Going to have a great conversation about Father's Day. Today is also trivia. And the team worked very hard into the wee hours of the morning, putting together trivia questions for you, an opportunity for you to win some great prizes today as we kick back and enjoy this great Friday. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And, of course, our live show blog. Lots of other stuff available at toddstarnes.com. And you can access social media portals, the whole nine yards there at the website. So, look, I want to weigh in on this Juneteenth holiday that is now official. President Biden signing that into law. That means all the federal workers get another day off. And people are very excited about this, but I have a question. And again, I don't have a problem celebrating the end of slavery. I think that was a great thing in America, a great moment in American history. But that did not happen in June. It happened when Abraham Lincoln, the Republican president, issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which happened in September of 1862. So my question is, why are we celebrating Juneteenth? Why is Juneteenth the official federal holiday, especially when it is so close to July 4th, which is Independence Day? And I've actually seen a number of liberal commentators already saying that Juneteenth is the actual legitimate National Independence Day. And I'm wondering if the whole point of having the holiday in June instead of either September when Lincoln issued the proclamation or in January when the proclamation changed the legal status of slaves in America, why those two dates were not considered. Why not? I mean, again, why not make the official holiday September 22nd unless there is another reason, and unless it was to marginalize or minimize what's about to happen on July 4th. Now, again, I've seen a lot of conservative commentators out there, and it's interesting. And you know this. You see the same stories I see. Back when the Republicans were supportive of making Juneteenth a holiday, everybody was on board. But now, all of a sudden, many of these same conservative commentators are opposing Juneteenth only because it's the Democrats proposing this and not the Republicans. Well, we don't play that game. Look, I have no problem marking and commemorating the end of slavery. As a matter of fact, I think that's a pretty darn important thing for us to do as a country. That was one of the most evil, sinful periods of American history. And we should commemorate that, and we should celebrate the fact that we once again strove to be this more perfect union, which is what America is all about. But why this holiday in June? Now, we all know the story about how the folks in Galveston, Texas, were delayed in hearing that the slaves had been freed. They found out in June, which is hence the Juneteenth celebration. That is the brief version of the history of the Juneteenth holiday. But it does make you wonder if ultimately this is about marginalizing or minimizing Independence Day, July 4th. And only time will tell. But when you have people out there saying, well, Juneteenth is the legitimate, it's the National Independence Day, and maybe July 4th is only for white people, well, that's a problem. Because we know how these critical race theory people work. We know how these cancel culture mobs work. So do not be surprised if you see this effort moving forward to marginalize July 4th. And maybe, just maybe, down the road, we may not be celebrating July 4th as July 4th. Maybe, just maybe, you're going to have these woke liberal lawmakers try to legitimately make Juneteenth Independence Day for the whole country. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we'll take your calls on that throughout the program. No, I don't think Hallmark's got a card for that yet. I mean, it just happened. I mean, and you know, maybe they weren't. Maybe next year. Maybe next year there will be a Juneteenth card, but not right now. Meanwhile, in Orange County, California, the Tustin Unified School District, comes this story from our friends over at the Gateway Pundit. Parents there are outraged. Yes, I use the term outraged, ladies and gentlemen, because the children were given an assignment. And the assignment was to determine whether or not they suffered from white savior complex. According to the Gateway Pundit, the children were given a white savior complex assignment. They were administered a healthy kids survey that included racial questions. Now, you will not be surprised to learn that moms and dads were not told in advance that their kids were going to be called out for being white saviors. They had absolutely no inclination that was happening. Parents were not given the option to opt out of the classroom discussions. Parents ultimately submitted a public records request demanding all information and communication regarding critical race theory in the school district. On June 2nd, parents received files that only heightened concerns that critical race theory was being woven into the school curriculum. For example, the public records request revealed that a substitute teacher assigned a white savior complex assignment to high school students in English honors, aligned with their study of To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment. Now, look, I write books. Love writing books. And it's it is quite a thing to be able to finish a book, get that book published, and then to have people react to the book. When I was in high school, we actually read To Kill a Mockingbird. That was one of the significant books of American literature that we had to read. And I suspect many of you in this listening audience have read To Kill a Mockingbird. But To Kill a Mockingbird is under attack. I mean, ultimately, To Kill a Mockingbird was really about race relations. And the idea, of course, if you've seen the movie, Gregory Peck, the white attorney defending the black innocent defendant. And because of that, they say, the critical race theory crowd says, that To Kill a Mockingbird is a racist book. And the reason why To Kill a Mockingbird is racist is because a white attorney was representing the black client. And therefore, that was an example of white savior complex. And that's what they're teaching the kids. And this is why To Kill a Mockingbird is actually being banned from many public schools across America, because they say the book is racist and they say the book is an example of white savior complex. Now, the superintendent of the Tustin Unified School District approved this assignment. Quote, I think it's a good assignment in the ethnic studies course, but not so sure about a high school English course. Have you noticed something about all of this critical race theory, all of this LGBTQIA crap? Have you noticed that it's all being shoved into the school system through the English department? This is why children can't read or write. They don't have time to learn. They're learning how to hate white people, and they're learning to become confused about their gender orientation. So this story is pretty fascinating. But the money bite here, and the thing you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that moms and dads are now standing up. Moms and dads are filing the paperwork to get this information that the school districts are hiding from them. And that's exactly what we all have to do. Just like the folks yesterday, we had Bill White on from Buckhead, Georgia, all you people listening to us in the Atlanta area, who said, you know what, fine, if Atlanta and their progressive leadership, if they're not going to defend us, if they're not going to send police to patrol our streets, if they're not going to provide us the same services they are providing other parts of the city, then we are going to leave the city. People are beginning to take a stand, and they're doing it the very legal way. These parents in Tustin County, they didn't burn down a single grade school. Nope, they did not. They did not riot. They did not pillage or plunder. Apparently, none of them needed flat-screen televisions or sneakers from Michael Jordan. No, they didn't need that. All they wanted was information, and they're going about it the right way. My recommendation come 2022 and moving forward, if you have a school board member that's up for re-election, I would just say, just start with a clean slate. We've got to eliminate this scourge that has been placed upon our public schools in this country. So my recommendation is run for school board. Conservatives, Christians, get out there. Run for school board. Take a stand. That is the front lines of this fight, by the way. All right, we're going to take a break here, going to the phones. Today, ladies and gentlemen, new listeners, open line Friday. So whatever you would like to talk about, we are going to take your questions. We're also going to be throwing out a Father's Day-themed trivia contest throughout the day. The first question, we'd like to know, which state was Father's Day first celebrated? In which state was Father's Day first celebrated? Was it Tennessee, Maine, or Washington? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Father's Day weekend. And I hope you're getting your father something really cool for Father's Day. No, your dad doesn't need another necktie. Unless it's a Snoopy necktie, and that's okay. But you gotta think outside the box. Think steak and power tools or something like that. All right, let's go to the phones real quick for our first trivia question of the day. 844-747-8868. We're going to start with Bill in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. All right, Bill, we need to know, what state was Father's Day first celebrated?
Maine.
Oh, Bill, I am sorry. That is incorrect, but good try, and give us a call back again. Let's go to Arizona. Jory on the line. All right, Jory, what state was Father's Day first celebrated?
I thought it was Washington.
That's right.
Yes, it was, Jory, Washington State. As a matter of fact, to be specific, Jory, it was in Spokane, Washington. And there was a resident there. Her name was Sonora Dodd, and she was raised by a widower who actually served in the – he fought in the Civil War. And one day she was at church. It was Mother's Day. And she said, you know what? We need to be honoring our fathers in America. And that was back in 1910. And, Jory, it took all the way from 1910 until, well, later on in the early 1970s for Father's Day to become an official holiday. All right, Jory, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to hook you up with a great prize, a copy of my brand-new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. All right, welcome back to the show. Let's get back to the phones, and we'll have some more trivia a little bit later on in the program. Let's go to Ella J. It's been a long time. Our good friend Joe from Ella J. All right, Joe, what's going on there in the mountains?
Todd, you're the man. Listen, I'm against critical rate, all that stuff I'm against. I'm against Biden's tax increases. I'm a strong Trump supporter, as you know. But I want to say we live in Ella J., the encouragement capital of the world, and I want to encourage you. Grace is a great screener. You have a great talk show. And I just want to encourage people to encourage and lift up others, because I think we live in the greatest country in America. I love Ella J. I love Georgia. I love America. I love your talk show. We need to be more positive, and I do feel great about the future. I think we're going to take over the House and Senate. So I just want to encourage you to encourage other people. And one thing, Todd, I'll always do, I will always encourage Todd Starnes, because I think you're one of the greatest radio talk show hosts in history, and it's an honor to be on your program. Grace is fantastic. And so I just want to encourage everybody to be positive and encourage other people and lift them up, because this is the greatest country in the world.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Joe, and that's why we have to fight the good fight every single day. I mean, this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. We can't do what we do in any other country except right here in the United States of America. And that is why I have hope, because I truly believe that there are more of us than there are of the socialists and the communists. And I think at the end of the day, we're gonna win that fight.
Todd, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Keep up the good work, my friend.
All right, Joe from Ella J. Always good hearing from our good buddy Joe. Also, Ella J., not only is it the – I didn't realize it was the encouragement capital of the world, but it is also the apple capital of Georgia. So if you haven't been to the Apple Festival over in Ella J., Georgia, you got to get over there. They have a good time. And by the way, President Trump putting out an op-ed – and this is an important op-ed. We are going to share some of this with you. Real Clear Politics has the exclusive. But President Trump is now calling out critical race theory, doing what the Southern Baptist Convention refused to do just a few days ago. President Trump writing says that there is no clearer example than the Biden administration's new effort aimed at indoctrinating America's school children with some of the most toxic and anti-American theories ever conceived. The president goes on to say it is vital for Americans to understand what critical race theory will do, what drives it, and most importantly, how we can stop it. And you need to understand this about critical race theory. It creates two categories of people, the oppressors and the oppressed. They categorize white people as the oppressor, and they categorize people of color as the oppressed. It is offensive to everybody, and we've got to be willing to stand up and put a stop to this nonsense. And President Trump, and we're going to post a link to this on our live show blog, President Trump goes into great detail about what Joe Biden and his administration want to do to our children in our taxpayer-funded classrooms. So we're going to get into more of that a little bit later on. Also, Joe from LJ, he put out the call, what are you thankful for? Why do you love America? Do you have hope for America? If you do, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our good buddy Colton Dixon coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show. By now, you've all heard me talking about MyPillow and my good friend, Mike Lindell. What an incredible product he has created for America. Those MyPillows never go flat. You can wash them, you can dry them as many times as you want, and they still maintain their shape. And you want to know why? Made in the good old U.S. of A. And now, for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. The regular price, $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Set. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. If you need— And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know that voice. Colton Dixon has a brand new single out, and it's just for all you dads out there. Father's Day coming up this weekend. The new single called Made to Fly, and Colton Dixon is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Colton, good to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, look, I know a lot of dads getting ready to get the ties for Father's Day, or maybe a trip to the steakhouse. But you've got a very special reason to celebrate Father's Day. I understand you've got some new little ones in the Dixon household.
We sure do, man. We had twin girls in August of last year, and man, it's just been such a fun year for us. Huge blessing in disguise getting to be home with them for as long as I have been. We're going to celebrate Father's Day real big in the Dixon house this year.
That is terrific. Ava and Athens, what beautiful names. What's it like dealing with the twins? Can you tell the difference? That's the big issue for me is telling one from the other.
Oh, for sure. We were actually worried about that going to the hospital. We brought a Sharpie with us to color a fingernail if we needed to. It's so funny because they are identical. However, the eggs split pretty early, so they kind of took on their own characteristics physically. So we can tell them apart pretty easy, but I count that as a blessing. You know who you've changed and who you haven't. So we could tell them apart pretty easy.
This is, well, it's an exciting thing. And, of course, being a dad, I mean, here you are, you know, you're on the road. You have this incredible ministry and music career. What is that like balancing the two? It's not like you have a regular, you know, 9-to-5 job.
Right. Yeah. When I go to work, I'm normally gone for a few days at a time. What's so interesting with kids is that before kids, my wife would travel with me. So I never really had to make that decision of, you know, when I say yes to a tour, I'm saying no to her. She would just come out with me, and it was awesome. But now with kids, it's definitely difficult. It can be. I know that, man, whenever I take a show or take a tour, I'm ultimately saying no to family time. So that's definitely a decision that my wife and I are going to be making together more intently moving forward. You'll probably see a little less shows out of me moving forward. But man, I'm so grateful for my wife who believes in and understands what I do. And there's just been a grace over that in the season. it could have been very difficult. But
yeah,
I'm thankful for
yeah.
That.
I mean, you. This was quite the journey for you and your wife. I mean, this was a difficult journey at times as the twins were being born.
Yeah, we had some complications for little Ava Dior right out the gate. The birthing process had started when we had to switch to a C-section. So when she came out, her little body was kind of stunned. You know, didn't have a heartbeat, no pulse, the whole thing. And so grateful. We believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to see him come through on a miracle of that magnitude, we are so grateful. She is just the sweetest, happiest, healthy baby, you know, we could ever ask for. So grateful.
Has that been a difficult thing for you as far as, you know, again, putting all of this out there? I know People Magazine did a really nice job covering the birth and the difficulties you guys went through. But was that a difficult decision to say, okay, you know what, we're going to make this part of our life public?
Yeah, it really, we even still have that conversation of, you know, how much do we want our kids and our lives to be accessible for people? And when it comes to me or even my wife, that's one thing. But when it comes to kiddos, it's a whole nother thing. So honestly, we really believe that that people get hope when they hear other people's testimonies. God says that in his word, you know, that it's important to share your testimony. So we saw that as an opportunity to maybe give people insight, you know, and say, hey, like, no, it wasn't easy, but we got through it. And what a cool miraculous outcome that we experienced, just in hopes that it would inspire and encourage other people. But that's what it boils down to. Like, we love People Magazine, grateful for them. But if it's just, if the sole purpose is to build a career or whatever, it falls short in our book. We want to inspire people and give hope to people. And I think they've done a beautiful job of navigating that.
And here you have I know you're getting ready to go out on tour. You've got a brand new single out, Made to Fly. And this is the lyrics are just incredibly powerful and really speak to Father's Day.
Yeah, I was able to share some advice my own dad and mom have given me over the years. The first verse, what starts with, my daddy always told me, you know, that no matter what life throws at you, keep on keeping on. Tomorrow's a new day, and you have a new opportunity. So so excited. Great timing coming out for Father's Day. That was not planned, believe it or not. But yeah, just coming out of last year, it was rough on a lot of people. And I just wanted to remind them that, hey, like, we're actually called to even greater things. So even though at times it feels like you're trying to remember how to put one foot in front of the other, we're actually made to soar on wings like eagles. So it's a good reminder for me, and just wanted to remind everybody else.
I'm curious, for you as a songwriter, I mean, going back to your, you know, American Idol days, what's that been like for you? Because again, you write about a lot of the experiences you're going through. And I have to imagine when you were on American Idol, you never thought you'd be writing songs about your daughters, down the road. What's that been like?
Man, it's been so cool, just the new perspective that life brings, you know, getting married and now having kids, new things to write about, new situations to write about. And it's funny, I actually haven't done a ton of writing since little Ava Dior and Athens were born. Made to Fly was one of those. But I'm sure it's just new perspective, you know. I'm a big faith guy, grew up in church, and just being a dad, I parallel it to my relationship with God, you know, as a father. You know, it's really cool to have that parallel and that new perspective. So excited to write more and more. And that's kind of what songwriting is. You know, you experience something new in life, or someone tells you about their own experiences, and you get inspired and you jot it down as quick as you can. And it's just there's an excitement in that, and you just can't wait to tell other people.
So I'm kind of curious here. So do you have does Mrs. Dixon have like a honey-do list for you before and after you head out on the tour? Like, you got to mow the grass, take out the garbage.
Yeah, I actually have a honey-to-do list right now on my phone, you know, call the bug man, you know, all the things. Yeah, when I'm home, man, I'm a dad and I'm a husband, and the career is far outside of our minds. You know, I've got certain times of the day that I jump on and do work. But yeah, I just enjoy being home, being present, and I take out the trash just like everybody else does. So.
And Colton, I got to tell you now, you've got a little bit of time, but you need to get a shotgun, you know, because, you know, dates are coming,
it,
you know. You know how it is.
I know it. Oh, man, I do. I think both my dad and my father-in-law will help me in the gun department.
There you go. Just casually be there on date night, you know, on the front porch.
Oh, for sure. Cleaning the shotgun, taking it apart. 100%.
Now, that's going to be a great song.
Yes. Oh, man. That sounds like a country song right there.
I love it. That one. Well, Colton, congratulations. Folks, we've got links to Colton, his website, the big tour coming up, and, of course, this incredible new single as well. Colton, congratulations, and look forward to seeing you out there on tour.
Thank you so much, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right, Colton Dixon, ladies and gentlemen, enjoying being a dad and, of course, an incredible musician as well. I thought it would be nice, again, a little weird segment for us, a little different, you know, taking a break from the politics of the day. But as we go to break, I thought it would be nice to hear a little bit more of this incredible brand-new single just out. And, again, we have links to it over at toddstearns.com in the live show blog. Let's check out Made to Fly.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Good interview with Colton Dixon. I like that guy. Coming up, we've got some great guests going into a deep dive of some of the crazy stories happening around the country today. Of course, President Biden now officially calling Juneteenth National Independence Day. Juneteenth National Independence Day Act, making Juneteenth, that's June 19th, by the way, as a legal public holiday. And many of the critics are saying that the Biden administration is using this holiday to advance the notion that America is a racist nation and that the nation is infected with systemic racism. Do you agree with that philosophy? 844-747-8868. President Biden said yesterday at the signing that great nations do not ignore their most painful moments. Well, that's simply not true. And we know that because at this very moment, you have a rampaging mob of cancel culture activists. We call them culture jihadists. And they are literally turning history they find troubling or painful into rubble. As a matter of fact, you have people at this very moment that are trying to eradicate anything created by white people, whether it be paintings, whether it be books, whether it be statues. I have long been an advocate of opposing that kind of behavior, because if you forget the painful parts of your history, you will be prone to repeat the painful parts of your history. So I have no problem acknowledging the incredible moment in American history when Abraham Lincoln, the Republican president, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. But that was done in September. It was not done in June. And there are people out there who do believe that the point of this national, and again, I want to read the official name of the holiday, Juneteenth, National Independence Day, Well, what does that make July 4th? Now, I say if you're going to celebrate the and commemorate the moment, fine, let's celebrate and commemorate the moment when it happened. But I suspect, ladies and gentlemen, that this has nothing to do with commemorating the Emancipation Proclamation. I propose this has everything to do with marginalizing and minimizing and one day eradicating July 4th as a national holiday, our true Independence Day. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Arkansas, Steve on the line. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, I just want to debate you a little bit, and everything that's going on in the news. To me, the true date that should be celebrated for the end of slavery is December the 6th of 1865. That is when the 13th Amendment was ratified. The Emancipation Proclamation was just like an executive order. It was an executive order. And Lincoln, unlike the people we have in office in this day and time, realized that an executive order isn't a true law. It isn't a true law of the land. It can be undone by the next political hack that comes through the White House. I mean, so if you want to get technically right about the ending of slavery, it should be the ratification of the 13th Amendment.
Well, yeah, I'm with you there, Steve. My thought, though, is if we're marking, commemorating the Emancipation Proclamation, that did happen in September. And again, that's what they're, you know, the whole point of this is that the slaves in Galveston didn't realize they had, you know, that the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued until later. And that's why they're celebrating this. My contention is, and you're right, I mean, if you're going to commemorate the end of slavery, commemorate the end of slavery on that date. If we're going to commemorate the Emancipation Proclamation, let's commemorate it on that date.
Yeah, it's just another thing of them taking history and twisting it to fit their narrative.
Well,
that's
of course. Well, of course it is, Steve. And that's the whole point. This is about advancing a narrative. That's what's really going on here. But you've got a great point. Steve, appreciate the call. Congressman Thomas Massie from Kentucky wrote this. He says, I fully support creating a day to celebrate the abolition of slavery. I don't know anybody who would object to that. That is a noble thing to do. But, he said, naming this National Independence Day is going to create confusion. He says it's going to push Americans to pick one of those 2 days as their Independence Day based on their racial identity. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we are now setting up a nation where you're going to have white people celebrating July 4th and you're going to have black people celebrating Juneteenth? I mean, that's what Congressman Thomas Massie seems to believe. You see what critical race theory is doing to our country, folks? Do you see what critical race theory is doing? How it is dividing this nation? New York Times reporter Asted Herndon tweeted that teachers will not be able to explain Juneteenth to their students because of efforts to eliminate CRT from their schools. Herndon says it's amazing Juneteenth is going to be a federal holiday, but for reasons teachers won't be allowed to explain because of critical race theory backlash. Again, this proves the point. This is all about critical race theory. And it's true. So we'll see how all of this plays out. But folks, if you're going to go ahead and keep score, say that on this day in the year of our Lord, 2021, that Todd Starnes predicted that this was the beginning of the end for July 4th as Independence Day. Because what Joe Biden did yesterday was not celebrate Juneteenth. He's celebrating and creating a separate Independence Day, further dividing this nation. If they really wanted to commemorate the emancipation, they should celebrate the emancipation in September, which is when Abraham Lincoln declared emancipation. Anything else is politics. Agree or disagree, ladies and gentlemen? If you disagree, you go to the front of the line, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Also, we're very excited because Tuesday, the countdown underway. My brand new book is about to hit bookstores on Tuesday, but you still have a few days left to pre-order a signed copy of my brand new book called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Governor Mike Huckabee says it is a buttermilk biscuit for the soul, and the governor is never wrong. So I want you to head over to ToddStarnes.com right now. That's ToddStarnes.com. Click on the store button at the very top of the page, and you can order a signed copy, personally autographed by yours truly, over at ToddStarnes.com. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. Hour two coming up.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today, folks. Father's Day weekend. We have trivia coming your way, some great questions, great prizes. We are providing brand new copies of my new book, which will officially be out on Tuesday. You'll be getting a signed copy if you win our contest today. We'll be doing that a little bit later on. Also, our good friend Mark Meadows is going to drop by. And next week, we are on the road. So we'll be broadcasting all of the shows from Dallas, Texas at the NRB. And my understanding is from the team, we've got a great guest lineup, including former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who will be with us on set while we are down in Dallas. So you're going to want to enjoy next week's programs. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. 68. Our website is ToddStarnes.com, and we have all sorts of great stuff posted there. And a special hello to all of you folks watching this program right now on our Facebook live stream as well as Liftable TV. By the way, we are efforting this audio. Mike Pence speaking at Ralph Reed's Faith and Freedom Conference. Apparently, a portion of his speech was drowned out by hecklers shouting traitor. So we'll find out what that's all about a little bit later on, but stay tuned for developments there. Look, a few days ago, I was at the Southern Baptist Convention, the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination. And as you know, a group of woke critical race theory activists were able to commandeer enough votes to secure the presidency of the SBC. And I think the New York Times actually got the headline right that the moderates won the day. Well, one of the people on the other side of that fight is a great Southern Baptist, a good man. He is also the co-founder of the Conservative Baptist Network, and he is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Rod Martin. Rod, how's it going today?
Really well. Thank you, Todd.
Rod, I want to get your take on what happened. Of course, the candidate that you guys were backing, a guy by the name of Mike Stone, who I, too, had endorsed, lost by a few hundred votes. What is your assessment of what went down this week in Nashville?
Well, I think the best analogy is we organized for about a year, and we got in the Super Bowl in our first year, and we lost by a field goal. I mean, it was an incredible effort. Mike Stone was a tremendous candidate, and it's just on to Anaheim. I mean, we clearly have the sentiment of the Baptist in the pew with us. And you know, look, the Washington Post even reported that the North American Mission Board was spending a shocking amount of your tithe money to recruit people to come vote for Ed Litton and pay their way out of CP dollars. It's really, really not okay. And, you know, Washington Post reported it was several hundred. I had people close to NAM brag to me that they were bringing more like 2,000 or 3,000, paying their airfare, paying their hotel. I mean, we're fighting the denominational machinery, but the Baptist in the pew isn't woke, doesn't believe in abortion, doesn't believe that this is the direction that the Southern Baptist Convention can go. And if the Baptist in the pew shows up at these meetings, they will win. They almost won this week. They will win in the years to come.
And I think we need to qualify, for most of our audience is not Baptist, and they don't understand these terms, Rod. North American Mission Board is what they call NAM, which is a mission sending agency of the Southern Baptist Convention. And the allegation made by the reporting of the Washington Post is that they actually paid for pastors to come in to support the man who did, in fact, win, the moderate, or at least that's how the New York Times and other news media are identifying Ed Litton, as a moderate Baptist who was the ultimate winner. And Rod, when you look at the numbers, had the North American Mission Board not done that, then Mike Stone would be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention today.
I think pretty overwhelmingly. And look, I don't know that that's true. Again, I'm quoting the Washington Post.
Well, let me jump in here, Rod. Hold on just a second, Rod. Let me jump in here. That is the reporting of the Washington Post, and we have asked for clarification from NAM. So if the story is not true, they should demand a retraction. They should demand a correction. But I think it's important for people to realize that the person, first of all, that has not happened. No one has refuted that story. And the author of that story is very close to the former head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the convention, as well as the son of a former Southern Baptist Convention president.
Yes, it is scandalous. And we wanted to believe the best of them. We absolutely did. Again, I know lots of your listeners aren't Baptists, but they need to understand, of the funding that reaches the national level of the SBC, a little over half of it goes to the International Mission Board to send missionaries all over the world. We have the largest missionary force in evangelical Christendom. But half of the rest goes to the North American Mission Board. So it would be fair to say that they are kind of swimming in money. And for them to spend that money, not just to turn out messengers, I understand the need to send church planters and denominational employees to the convention. I don't have an issue with that. But for them to do what we consistently heard all over the country they were doing, which is specifically to recruit them to vote for a specific candidate, Ed Litton, and then to see that reported and confirmed in the Washington Post, tells us that we have a serious corruption problem in the SBC. And that's another thing that we're going to have to turn out at future conventions to address.
And again, if the reporting in the Washington Post turns out to be fake news, then we will be calling out the Washington Post. But as it now stands, nobody has asked for a correction or a retraction, and none has been given. So therefore, we have to take the Washington Post story at face value. But Rod, you know, another interesting component, there was a lot of controversy because Southern Baptists wanted to put forward a resolution condemning abortion in the strongest terms, and there was blowback to that.
There was, and actually at two different levels. So this was the strongest resolution against abortion that the Southern Baptist Convention has ever passed, and we did pass it ultimately, but it was close. So the first stage of that is the Resolutions Committee refused to report it out of committee. And James Merritt, who is a former president of the SBC, and he was chairman of the Resolutions Committee this year, told us from the platform that they were opposed to speaking to abortion because we've had plenty of resolutions on abortion through the years, and we don't need to speak to that anymore. Well, excuse me, the same year they're bringing out another resolution condemning slavery. We have condemned slavery almost every year for the last 25 years. Slavery has not existed in this country since 1865, but we need to keep talking about that and not about the ongoing slaughter of millions of innocent babies. That is horrifying to me. That is nonsensical to me. Anyway, so the Resolutions Committee tried to spike it. We voted it out onto the floor, which was more than a little difficult, but we pulled it off. And then once it was on the floor, we discovered something very interesting. This resolution was aimed at abolishing abortion, just like abolishing slavery. Okay, so there was a huge blowback on the floor by people who support the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and actually one employee of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, Russell Moore's old agency. At the blowback was that this resolution would prohibit any kind of incremental approaches such as sonogram laws and laws against partial birth abortion and so forth. So we amended it from the floor to explicitly include those kinds of things. The people who supported that amendment still opposed the resolution. I was sitting in front of several hundred of them, and they all voted for the amendment, and then they all voted against the resolution. So even when they got their way, they voted against a resolution condemning abortion, which tells you where we really are in the convention. A lot of the people who most support Russell Moore, Ed Litton, et cetera, honestly, there's a reason they supported Joe Biden, and it wasn't Donald Trump's mean tweets. It's that they actually believe in critical race theory. They actually are soft on abortion, possibly pro-choice. And that's what we're fighting now. We're fighting for the soul of the Southern Baptist Convention.
So you're not fighting moderate Baptist. You're fighting Biden Baptist. That's what it sounds like you're telling me.
We absolutely are. And they will deny it all day long, but their votes speak for themselves.
I mean, anybody who opposes abortion, in my book, I don't see how you can be a Baptist, and I don't see how you can be a Christian. If you
really
support abortion, I don't see how you could possibly be a Christian or a Baptist.
Yeah, and they all were of course scandalized that we would suggest such a thing. But when they got the amendment they said was necessary to be able to support the resolution, they still voted against the resolution.
Unbelievable.
And the majority of the convention voted for it. So we did pass the resolution, but it was close. And it is hard for me to imagine 5 years ago that you could have had a close vote on an anti-abortion resolution.
All right, Rod,
it shocks the conscience.
Rod, real quick, because we're running tight on time here. I want to ask about the racism part of this. They refused to name critical race theory. They refused to do that.
Yes.
That even confused CNN. I noticed Ed Litton was on CNN, and they could not get a straight answer out of him. And it was really funny to watch that even CNN could not get a straight answer from him on that.
No, they don't want to address that issue. They actually are clearly in support of it. They pushed Resolution 9 in Birmingham that endorsed the use of critical race theory and intersectionality. They didn't want to name it by name because they want to give cover to very specific pastors and very specific professors at several of our seminaries who are actively dealing with critical race theory and intersectionality as a positive thing, in some cases even black liberation theology. They don't want to call it out. Now, in a normal year, Resolution 2, which we passed this year, you and I would look at it and say it's a good resolution. It condemns racism. It condemns all the things. I'm for that. I believe in that. But it was disingenuous. It was intended to give cover to the people who are actually promoting CRT and intersectionality.
I see.
And they know it, and they did everything they could from the platform to demonize anybody who would call this thing by its name.
Rod, we're going to have to leave it there. A lot to unravel, but the most important thing is that we cannot allow the Southern Baptist Convention to disengage from the culture fight. We just can't. The nation cannot allow that to happen. So we appreciate you guys there in the Conservative Baptist Network fighting the good fight. And as you mentioned, next year's meeting in Anaheim, California, and that's another opportunity to make a very public national stand. Rod Martin, thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, we have got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
right, let's get right to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Louise in the beautiful state of Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. That's Bill Maine country out there. Hi, Louise. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's on your mind, Louise?
Well, we don't have all day, so I'll try to go quickly over a few things. I wonder why we're not calling out the names of all these Republicans that are sitting on their thumb and not doing anything to fight back against all this, because Biden needs to be thrown out, and that moron along with him that's his vice president, and why we aren't still talking about the election was really rigged. We all know that. Everybody knows it. But if we stop talking about it, you know, nothing will ever change. And Obama's the one that started this race crap when he was in office. And then it's just gone from there. And, you know, the same thing with these universities. We need to be calling out these instructors, whatever they call them, you know, that teach in college that, you know, that are from foreign countries. And, you know, they claim they're more spies than they are teachers. I mean, you and Hannity and Tucker and Laura are the only ones, you know, and you guys on the radio. I miss Rush so much, you know.
Louise,
we've got to have people that will do that.
Louise, you're right. And people are afraid to talk about the true issue here. This is a race war, and you are correct. This is a race war that was started by Barack Hussein Obama. He laid the foundation, and I believe he is pulling the strings right now at the White House. I absolutely believe that he's the guy running the show, and the reason why is that Barack Obama knows that if you have the whites and the blacks at each other's throats, you are going to weaken this country, and that will usher in the age of socialism and communism in America. That's why he's doing this, Louise.
Well, I know, and I'm sure that him, I won't tell you what I really think of him, and Hillary, the Clintons, are paying for all these Antifa people. Somebody's got to be paying.
Oh, Louise, it's the hired muscle. They're the hired muscle of the Democrat Party, and they've been going out there and attacking conservatives since Donald Trump announced he was running for the White House. And we've got that verified. It's been reported. It's been covered by conservative media, big media. They don't want to talk about that. But the fact of the matter is this. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, they are the hired muscle. The hired thugs of Maxine Waters and the Democrats. Louise got a skedaddle. Hang tight, folks. We've got a line open, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Friday edition. Next Father's Day trivia question, here it is. Remember that 70s show? That was a pretty fun show. Love that show back in the days. Here is the question from that 70s show. Who was the father? Who was the father in that 70s show? If you know the answer, we need to know the name of the character, not the actor who played the character, but the character's name. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And you will win a prize package courtesy of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good to have with us Congressman Chris Stewart from the great state of Utah. Congressman, how's it going today?
It's great to be with you, and it's a hot day out here in Utah.
Well, it is a hot day here, and I've only been to Salt Lake City once or twice, and it was very nice weather there. But it gets hot in the summertime, you say?
It does, but it's a beautiful city, beautiful state. Come back and see us again.
Oh, plan to. Yeah, that's usually the layover, Congressman, all the way to California, you know. So you got to take a pit stop in beautiful Salt Lake City. You know, Congressman, we've been watching the Biden administration playing politics with a lot of stuff, including what's been happening at our border. And I know you've been all over this story as well. Congressman Ronnie Jackson coming out yesterday on our program calling for the president to go through some sort of a cognitive test. First, let's start there. Do you agree with the congressman that the president needs to take a cognitive test?
Well, I think it's fair for the American people to know how capable their president is. I got to tell you, I'm not sure the cognitive test would show us something that many of us don't already know, and that is he's clearly diminished by age. And I want to be careful about that. I mean, God go with us all. It could happen to any one of us. And as we get older, that's the truth. But, I mean, the media clearly covered this up. They continue to. And the immediate outcome is we've got to ask the question of what does that mean to American policy? What does it mean to protecting American interest? And I'll give you a good example of things that I just shake my head at and go, what in the world was he thinking? Meeting with Vladimir Putin, and by the way, this is shame on his staff for allowing this, you know, allowing them to take this stance. But he hands Vladimir Putin a list of 16 areas in the U.S. economy or U.S. government that are off limits for cyber attack, but I mean, clearly the implied message is the others, are fair game. I mean, things like that, you look at them, you just go, what in the world are you thinking? And how could you possibly voice that and not expect some of us to shake our head and go, wow.
No, it's a great point you raise. And again, I'm not sure, based on the president's performance overseas, that exhibited a lot of confidence. Not just for Americans, but for our allies. I think that we are once again taking up our position, leading from behind that President Barack Obama advanced. That was his foreign policy, leading from behind.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I defy anyone to tell me what that even means. It's kind of like saying up is down. It's just, I mean, they're mutually exclusive. You don't lead if you're behind. But, I mean, and the challenge that President Biden has now regarding foreign policy and specifically regarding Russia, which, of course, has been the topic of the last few days, is against the popular narrative, against the deception of the media, which has tried to convince the American people that President Trump was soft on Russia. His policies were the hardest policies imposed on Russia in a generation. And let me elaborate on that. For example, he allowed for kinetic weapons for Ukrainians to defend themselves versus President Obama and Vice President Biden said, oh, we'll give you MREs, we'll give you food, but that's all we're going to help you with. President Trump said, here are kinetic weapons, go defend yourself. The biggest thing, and the thing he was ironically criticized for, was to go to our NATO partners and say, you guys need to pony up. You need to, comply with the commitments you've made in defending and building NATO. You need to fund your own defense. And what is the purpose of NATO? It's to counter Russian aggression. He, for example, his energy policies were the biggest diminishing impact we could have on the Russian economy. He had harder sanctions. I mean, the list is long of how this president was tough against Russia. Again, counter to the media, the media narrative. And now this president has got to be, make this decision. Do I continue with those forceful stands or do I back off? And the thing I worry about it is he is going to be softer. And here's an example of that. While he denies our own pipeline, the Keystone pipeline here in the U.S., he encourages and greenlights the Nord Stream 2, which we've been trying to stop for 4 or 5 years of having Europe be dependent on Russian oil and gas. That's not a good idea. Yet this president gave it a green light.
Congressman, I'm curious. There's been a lot of chatter about what happens if the Republicans reclaim the House of Representatives in 2022. And there's been some speculation out there that it might be a good idea to install President Trump as the Speaker of the House. Should that happen? I'm curious your thoughts about that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first, let me go back and say it's not if Republicans are going to take the House. I'm confident we will. I mean, everything is aligning for us, and the most important thing is the American people are looking at this administration and the Democratic policies and going, this is nuts. This is not what we were promised. This is not what we really believe. And the repercussions on the economy and some of the other things that we'll see the fruit of these policies by the time the 22 election comes around. And again, I'm confident we're going to take back the House. That is a fascinating question that you bring up about President Trump as a speaker. I actually have great respect and admiration for Kevin McCarthy. And I think he would be a terrific speaker, and it would be an interesting set of choices there. But I got to tell you what, either one of them, I'd be thrilled about to have anyone other than Nancy Pelosi.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We do appreciate your great work up on Capitol Hill, and we thank you for fighting the good fight for conservatives across this great nation.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Congressman Chris Stewart from Utah on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Yeah, Matt Schlapp was on the Fox News channel and Newsmax over the past couple of days suggesting that, you know what, maybe Trump would make a good Speaker of the House. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Interesting story on the social media platforms. Twitter, there's a guy by the name of Lee Sanderlin. And Avery, I know that you're all over this story. He's a reporter with the Clarion Ledger, which is the newspaper of record in Jackson, Mississippi. And Mr. Sanderlin lost a bet. He was he came in last place in his fantasy football league. Oh, that's never a good place to be.
No, I don't think so either.
And according to Mr. Sanderlin, he posted a photograph of what looked to be a nearly empty Waffle House. And he said, "I am coming to you live from a Brandon, Mississippi Waffle House. I, a total loser, came in last place in my fantasy football league. As punishment, I spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. Every waffle I eat shaves off an hour of the clock. It's 4:07 Central Time."
See, that doesn't sound like a punishment. That sounds like he won the grand prize to me.
You see, I'm with you on that. I mean, it's not like it's IHOP. I mean, we're talking about Waffle House, where
waffle
they actually
houses are nasty.
Where they know how to make waffles.
But they're nasty. They're
but
waffle
they have
houses.
The best waffles.
They do. See, I don't remember the last time I went to one, so I don't recall. They don't look that great. They look like I can make better ones at home, but
the last time I went to a Waffle House was the day before one of my best friend's wedding. We both had breakfast together for the last time as both bachelors, technically, and it was a great time.
So you celebrated at the Waffle House.
So yep. The guy was pretty much packing away the waffles, and those are big waffles.
They are
about the size of the plate.
And they are.
It looked like he was able to polish off five waffles. That's the last we heard from him. Do we know if he's still alive?
That's a good question to ask.
That's a great question. I'm looking.
Oh, dear. Wait a second. No, I'm Uh-oh. Scrolling down here. This is not good. Uh-oh. Apparently, he hit the sixth waffle and it did not go down.
Oh,
which
gosh.
Implies it may have come back up.
But or according to the rules, that does not count against him if he, you know, upchucks it.
So he went through at least one shift change at the Waffle House, and that's always an exciting time.
I mean,
if you're going to... Oh, wait a second. No. We've got an update now. He did go through waffle number six, which means he had 12 waffles. He has 12 hours to go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Post a little photograph of himself. He's not looking very good. A little peaked.
Man.
Poor fella.
I see 5 hours ago it says, "And we're out, Waffle House."
Yeah.
So I think he made it.
I saw that, Todd, I know Grace, you're probably aware, and I know Kyle probably is as well, but Todd, do you know who the Dude Perfect guys are?
Oh, I love Dude Perfect guys. Dude Perfect are great men.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
They
had a segment where they had a similar punishment, but it was like at a Denny's or something like that.
Oh.
And they also had the same thing, one waffle. If you eat one waffle, that shaves an hour off your time. But how one of them got out early was they didn't specify, but on the menu there were kid-sized waffles, so he cheated it sort of that way.
Clever.
So Lee Sanderlin from the Clarion Ledger, he pulled a rookie mistake. He let the waffle get cold, and you can't do that.
Nasty.
As much as I love the Waffle House waffles, if they get cold, that's a no-go.
You might as well be trying to eat straight batter at that point.
Yeah, he said that was the purgatory period of the night.
Oh, gosh, I bet. Bless
so,
his heart.
Poor fella. But again, I did, you know, at least it's not I love the scattered, covered, and smothered. I can handle that, but I don't think I could do that for 12 hours.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
All right.
No Waffle House for me.
So he shaved off. So he shaved off at least, we know what, 7-8 hours off of the 24 hours in the Waffle House.
That's pretty impressive
for him.
That is pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. I hope he has a good cardiologist.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
He's going to leave the Waffle House and go straight to the doctor.
But typically, I mean, the best Waffle Houses, they are a bit on the unclean side.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's a bit of a clientele. It's sort of like the Walmart after midnight.
Yes,
crowd.
Don't be there after midnight.
But if you are, you probably need to have a concealed carry just to be on the safe side.
It going never to hurts. The Waffle House, like after football games, for me when I was in high school, like that was the spot to go to.
That was the place, Avery.
Waffle House.
Mm-hmm. See, we went to the Perkins.
Perkins no and Waffle House.
Yeah. He didn't have very many options.
All right. Well, there you go, Mr. Sanderlin. He says it's a punishment, but I'm with Avery on this one. I mean, if your punishment is going to Waffle House, I say punish me more.
Yeah, that's an absolute win in my book.
There are worse punishments.
Big time. All right, got to take a break here. Again, our trivia question, That 70s Show. We need to know the name of the dad in the TV series That 70s Show. Next question, we need to know the name of the dad who stars in the TV show Last Man Standing. The dad in the TV show Last Man Standing. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. We're going to the phones. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Oh, bad news for the Dwarf King, Brian Stelter, over at CNN, the most profane name in news. Brian Stelter lost, according to the Daily Wire report, lost 72% of his viewers in 2021. 72%. More people are watching Fox Business Network. More people are watching Shepard Smith than Brian Stelter, the Dwarf King, over at CNN. It's horrible. Nobody's watching cable news anymore, and why should they? It's so depressing over there. And they're still focusing on the fact that Donald Trump has not conceded the race. I mean, they're living in the past. We have to live in the future, ladies and gentlemen. We do. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. We have a couple of trivia questions outstanding. Let's go to Tom in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Tom, how's it going today?
We're doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. So the trivia question, That 70s Show, we need to know the name of the dad on that TV show. What was his name?
That would be Mr. Red Foreman.
And you would be correct. Yes, sir. Congratulations. Tom, you are a winner of a brand new copy of my new book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get your information. So well done there. And I want to go to, is it Waylene in Morehead City, North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Did I get your name right there?
It's Wallene.
Wallene. All right, Wallene. Well, first, how are you today?
I am great. How about you?
Wallene, I'm doing lovely. Thank you for asking. So our next question of this hour, what dad starred in the TV show Last Man Standing?
That would be Tim Allen.
And, yes, you would be correct. Well done, Wallene. Tim Allen, a great conservative and a great actor. A great TV show, Last Man Standing. Wallene, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to hook you up with a copy of my brand-new book, Our Daily Biscuit, so don't go anywhere. All right, folks, you know, we've been talking for a long time now about allergies, and I have been celebrating this particular spring and summer, and the reason why is because of my all-new Thunderstorm air purifier from our good friends at Eden Pure. Eden Pure has created this incredible device, which is about the size of really my new book. It's a small device. It's a small book to our daily biscuit. And you don't see it. It's there. It works, but you don't see it. And this thing literally takes away all of the molecules in the air that cause you to cough and sneeze, make your eyes watery. I have not had that problem since I got my Thunderstorm air purifier from our good friends over at Eden Pure, and they have some great deals for listeners of the Todd Starnes radio show. You say, all right, well, how can I get in on this? Very simple. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com, and use the code word Todd at checkout. They're going to give you some incredible savings only if you use my code, and that code word is Todd, T-O-D-D. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Todd, and if you order, they're going to throw in shipping free of charge. They're going to pick up the cost of the shipping just because you are a listener to the Todd Starnes radio show. So look, folks, I know we have people holding on. Hang tight. We ran a little bit long this segment. Coming up, our good friend Mark Meadows is going to drop by, and we're going to have a big conversation about President Trump out on the road again. Also, this Mike Pence audio from the Faith and Freedom Conference, we're going to play this audio for you, but it turned out not to be what they told us it was, because when I listened to the actual audio, they said Mike Pence got drowned out by the hecklers. We're going to let you listen for yourself, so you'll be able to determine for yourself whether or not Mike Pence got drowned out by the hecklers. It's going to be a great live lesson on identifying and calling out fake news. All right, we've got to take a break here. Now is a great time. Head over to the website. And yeah, we're pushing that book because book launch is coming. And we want you to get a copy of Our Daily Biscuit. You can order a signed autographed copy right now, toddstarnes.com. Click on the store app. We'll be right back, folks.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the final hour of the final broadcast day of the week here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. In other words, it's Friday. And we got a lot going on this hour. Our good friend, former Congressman Mark Meadows, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, is going to be with us. Real quick, this item from FoxNews.com. Megan Rapinoe, who is now the face of Victoria's Secret. Didn't think I'd ever say those words. Megan Rapinoe, the face of Victoria's Secret, in a little bit of hot water because she has posted some things on Twitter that have offended the Asian American people. I'm not going to repeat what she wrote because it could be offensive to you, the fine listeners of this audience. Also, Hunter Biden is in hot water again. You know, this guy, I guess when it comes to the left, if you are a Democrat or you're a member of the gay community, you're given special clearance. You don't get in trouble for saying things or doing things that might be construed as racist or homophobic or bigoted. Hunter Biden is a great example of this. Mr. Biden, by the way, who had previously used the N-word in a series of flurry of texts with a white attorney, is now in trouble because he used the racial slur yellow to refer to Asian women back in 2019. sent a text message to his cousin, Caroline Biden, about getting hooked up with someone. Wow, this guy's a sleazebag. A complete sleazebag. Anyway, she asked him, do you want foreign or domestic? Wow, sleaze runs in the Biden family, does it not? So she asked at one point, do you want foreign or domestic? And she says, I can't give you blanking Asian. Sorry, I'm not doing it. And Hunter Biden replied, I want a domesticated foreigner, no yellow, meaning no Asian. How is this guy, again, I mean, these are text messages. How is this guy able to get away with all of this and the mainstream media not call him out? Anyway, no comment from Hunter Biden. He's probably nose deep in Parmesan cheese right now. So there you go. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have with us our good friend Ned Ryan, who is now author Ned Ryan of the incredible new book, The Adversaries, A Story of Boston and Bunker Hill. Ned, good to have you back with us.
Yeah, no, good to be back with you, Todd. I was cracking up at your intro there about the... They're not reporters. They're not journalists. They're just corporate propagandists. So, of course, they're not going to actually look into and try and get down to the bottom or truth of anything if it's inconvenient to them. But I did enjoy your alluding to Hunter and Parmesan cheese. But, yeah, what a travesty that we have in this country right now that these people are in leadership, and I would argue questionably so, after the November 2020 elections.
No, look, this has been an ongoing battle, and, you know, we had Congressman Ronnie Jackson on the show yesterday announcing that he was sending that letter saying he wanted the president to take a cognitive test, and nothing mean-spirited about it, but he's very concerned, as we all are, because everybody sees what's going on here.
Yeah, no, I would argue that the G7 and obviously the summit with Putin were a disaster that clearly highlighted that Joe Biden... Yeah, if it's not early stage dementia, it's something along those lines. And he's not the one in charge. And I tweeted this out earlier today, Todd. There was no doubting, for better or for worse, who was in charge of the Trump administration. Somebody by the name of Donald J. Trump, making decisions on almost every front, right? With Biden, we're not entirely sure who is actually calling the shots, except for we can be assured of one thing. It's not Joe Biden.
No, and it's not Kamala Harris either. And she has demonstrated that she is certainly not qualified to be president of the United States.
No, I mean, that trip down south was a disaster in regards to the border security. And she lied through her teeth, by the way, when she was talking about, you know, we're not encouraging people to come. You basically, by removing a lot of the consequences and the internal enforcement policies of Donald Trump and border security policies, you've basically flashed a neon open border sign to Central and South America. So you can say whatever you want to, but your actions show your de facto open border.
Ned Ryan on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Ned, we can talk politics another day, but I really want to dig into this great new book you wrote, The Adversaries. First of all, I'm curious, why did you decide to focus on this subject?
Well, it started with the genesis. I've always been a fan of Dr. Joseph Warren's, and he was a young Harvard-educated doctor, protege of Sam Adams, who really became, if not the leader, one of the leading leaders in Boston in those last 9 to 10 months before Bunker Hill. He was a force for the resistance to Parliament and the King's ministers, and president of the Provincial Congress, became a major general in the army, and was one of the first ones, Todd, to fully understand what was going to happen. England was not going to let the colonies go. They were going to have to fight for it. And so really wanted to focus on Dr. Joseph Warren, but then it became one of those real curiosities. How did Englishmen start shooting each other? What were some of the events that led to that point? And there were a couple interesting things, Todd, that I came across in my research. One, people want to say we fought for economic reasons. And there was an interview with one of the last living survivors of Lexington and Concord, a man that fought that day. And he was asked, did you fight because of the Stamp Act? He said, no, I never saw a stamp in my life. Well, did you fight because of the Tea Act? I didn't drink tea. I didn't know anybody else who drank tea. Well, surely you fought because you were inspired by John Locke and some of these other great English philosophers. And he said, no, I didn't read any of them. I read the Bible, Isaac Watts' hymns, and the Catechism. So this person, you can tell, is completely perplexed and said, well, why did you fight? I fought because we'd always governed ourselves and always meant to, and Parliament and the King's ministers meant that we shouldn't. So that was the one thing. And the other thing, too, Todd, that and again, it kind of applies to today. These colonists coming over from England, they were English. 85% of Massachusetts at the time of the Revolution was direct English lineage. They've come over from England with these great ideas that spring from English soil. Magna Carta, 1628 Petition of Rights, 1689 Bill of Rights. They had the Charter of Massachusetts. All of these things had been assented to by English kings, many of them passed by Parliament. And they believed because they were in black and white and these were sacrosanct ideas. And all of a sudden at this point, Parliament and the King's ministers decided, well, these are kind of inconvenient, perhaps more a series of suggestions. We're going to do what we want and what we say is law. Well, that's the rule of law. And if you don't like it, we will force you to submit and we will force you with more troops, more warships, more cannons, more muskets. And the American colonists led by Warren and Adams and Hancock and Revere said, we don't think so. And at a certain point, word stopped and bullets started flying.
It is an amazing book. I've just started reading it, and you know the reviews are coming in, and they're terrific. One of the things that I've noticed is that history, all throughout history, it seems as if the same groups of people, we're talking about the folks who gather in the pubs and the public houses, they're the ones that are out there fighting for our freedom. And we've seen this even played out, I think, in the Republican primary that led to Trump's election.
You know, if you look back at Boston in the fall of, and the book starts in September of 1774, really around Warren and others, Warren authors something called the Suffolk Resolves, which was then unanimously endorsed by the First Continental Congress, which the British government realized we might have a serious problem on our hands. But if you really look at the small group of people, you're right, Todd, it was really five people, really five main organizers in Boston that were organizing the resistance. And this handful of people, whether it was Sam Adams or Warren or Hancock Revere, another guy by the name of Dr. Benjamin Church, who plays a role in this book, and I think a very interesting one, but it was just these guys that were saying, we're not going to submit any longer. And the ability that they had to really be that spark for the rest of the colony, but even for the other colonies as well. I mean, this was the epicenter. And the thing that I wanted people to know, too, is, I mean, Boston at the time was a relatively small town, about 16,000 people, about 900 acres. But it was truly the epicenter and the birth of the revolution.
Folks, you can get yourself a copy of The Adversaries by going to our live show blog. We have a link. Of course, you can also get it wherever you buy your books. The Adversaries, a story of Boston and Bunker Hill. Ned, congratulations. And this is going to be exciting. Doing well on Amazon. Already number one bestseller in war and military action fiction, as
That's
they
right.
say at Amazon.
That's right. And just cracked the top 100 just before I came on of all books internationally on Amazon. So people still have time to order a copy, Todd, for Father's Day. It'll still get there in time. And I would encourage you. I think this is a story for all time. The last thing I'll say is this. You again asked, why did I write this? Because the principled defiance that they showed in the face of the overpowering and overwhelming authoritarianism makes it a story for all time.
Well said. Well said. Ned, congratulations. Look forward to getting you back on.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Good guy right there. Got to read that book, folks. And we do have a link to it in the live show blog. All right. There is a crazy story out there, and we had to track down this audio. I could not believe something like this was said on national television, but it was. Mark Lamont Hill, you remember him from CNN? That guy is a flaming racist. And I called him out on day one. We knew who he was. So he's got his own show now. And he was interviewing this Yale psychiatrist. She lectured at the Yale School of Medicine. Her name is Dr. Aruna Kelani. And she believes that all white people are bad apples. You got to hear this. Take a listen.
People have this idea that racism is something that if you're consciously racist or if you're a Klan member, and I'm sort of making the claim that racism is something that is unconscious and it is actually in everyone. And everyone uses these words systemic. They're like, you know, I know that racism is systemic. And yet individually, when you call them out, they'll be like, well, it's not me. You can't say that. And so there's a disconnect between use of the word systemic and saying that racism is everywhere. But the moment you point it out individually, there's sort of people disown their own violence and racism.
Would it be fair to say, based on your expertise, that white people are psychopathic?
What?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's many lies that, and I didn't get to that part because what I've delivered was only part of a first series of talks. But the way, the level of lying that white people do that has started since colonialism, we're just used to it.
Hmm.
Such
what
as
kind
every
of lies?
Time you, sure, every time that you you steal a country, you loot, you say you've discovered something. I mean, this level of lie is actually part of history. We don't say that we killed all these people, we got rid of all the Native Americans. We say we discovered America. You don't talk about the level of death. You don't talk about the level of what actually occurred. You wipe the slate clean. You sanitize the violence. And you actually got lost along the way. You're trying to go to India. And then you say you discovered something. And this level of discovery is everywhere. You've discovered vegetarianism. You know, you've discovered yoga. You've discovered everything is a discovery. And it's all actually stolen.
Okay. So what you just heard, this was actually a very honest discussion. They truly believe that all white people are psychopaths and that all white people are bad apples. And we're not talking about just random folks here. We're talking about Mark Lamont Hill. He's had a show on CNN. He is a very established character in the mainstream media. And you have this nut job psychiatrist who's been lecturing over at Yale. But here's the nugget that you need to pay very close attention to. She mentioned twice that white people stole a country. This defines everything and explains everything we are going through right now here in the United States of America. Critical race theory, the culture jihadist, Black Lives Matter, the socialist, they truly believe that all of you white people need to go back to where you came from because you stole the United States of America. They believe our nation is an illegitimate nation. That's what they believe. And that's what's going on here. So I appreciate them at least for being honest about what this is really all about. Oh, all right. We've got to take a break here. Another trivia question on our Father's Day edition of the program. Which president signed into law a permanent recognition of Father's Day? Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, or Bill Clinton? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Rhodes College, that's sort of like the Ivy League school here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's one of these highfalutin left-wing schools. Rhodes College says that they're going to start charging unvaccinated students $1,500 a semester to cover the cost of mandatory testing. Unbelievable. So you folks who go to Rhodes, you people are morons. If you pay that amount of money, you're a moron. We can't help you. There's nothing we can do for you. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Ron in the beautiful state of Maine, listening to us on WLOB. That is Ray Richardson country. Ron, how's it going up there in Maine today?
Good, good. Nice weather, nice and warm, no humidity.
Very nice. The lobsters are plentiful and all that good stuff.
But kind of expensive this year.
Oh, well, you know, so is chicken down here in Dixie, so we can commiserate.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Ron, there is a trivia question on the table. We want to know which U.S. president signed into law the permanent recognition of Father's Day. Was it Reagan, Clinton, or Nixon?
Nixon.
And you are correct. Yes, sir. Richard Milhouse Nixon actually signed that into law, making it a permanently recognized holiday. Of course, it was Lyndon Johnson, LBJ, who signed the proclamation. But congratulations, Ron. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to hook you up with a great prize package courtesy of the Todd Stearns radio show. You know, folks, we've been talking about MyPillow for quite some time. Our good friend Mike Lindell is a great American patriot. He is facing all sorts of attacks, and we're doing our part by helping Mike by buying his products. And I think everybody, just about everybody on the team, has a MyPillow product of some kind. And whether it be a beautiful Merlot, the Dalmatian, who has the MyPillow doggy bed, we've got the MyPillow slippers, and we want to make sure that you get in on this great action. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That is a $40 savings. That's $29.98. All MyPillow products come with the 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. That's unheard of these days. So go to MyPillow right now and use the Radio Listener Square and my promo code, STARNS. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and even the MyPillow towel sets. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. Got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back. Mark Meadows coming up next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio show. Looking forward to seeing all of our listeners in Dallas, Texas this weekend. I'll be speaking at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be signing copies of the new book, which you will be able to get a copy of. If you cannot make it to Dallas, all you have to do is go to our website, toddstearns.com, click on the store, and we will hook you up with a signed copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. So 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us a great American patriot, former White House Chief of Staff, former Congressman Mark Meadows. Mark, how's it going today?
Great, Todd. Great to be with you, and certainly great to be with all your listeners. And when we start to talk about your book, you know, I love that little bit of a draw because I don't need a translator for that.
No, you don't. You do not need a translation, Congressman. It was a fun book to write, and you know, we'll get back to writing about politics, you know, in the next book. But I wanted to have a little bit of fun and celebrate our Southern heritage and roots and those good old church meetings that we all used to go to as kids.
It brings a little bit of our heritage, but also it helps people understand a little bit more about some of the things that have happened, you know, in my great home state of North Carolina and all those that are closely aligned with our faith and freedom.
And faith and freedom are literally both under attack. And, I mean, you were predicting this. President Trump predicted this was going to happen. Elections have consequences. And whether it's in the military, whether it's in our church houses, the Democrats are coming after us.
Well, they are. And I think, you know, we've seen it recently with some of the testimony on Capitol Hill where we have the Navy essentially indoctrinating our men and women in service to our country with kind of a woke mentality, and it's not even something that's consistent with who we are as a nation, but it's coming sadly to a theater near you. And for all those that are listening here now, the left is on a full court blitz. They're really looking to take anything that honors our faith, and for you and I, it's a faith in Jesus Christ and our committed walk there. But
But when we look at it, it really is trying to take it not only out of the classroom, but out of the public square to suggest that anything that we do has to be secular in nature. And I can tell you that it is troubling, but it's a five-alarm fire. And hopefully we'll have a number of heroes across the country that come to our rescue.
You know, I hope so. And I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing out there. I think people, after 4 years of Donald Trump, I think they understand what it means to stand your ground, to fight, to deliver on the promises you made to voters. I mean, that's something you did for so many years in Congress as one of the leaders of the House Freedom Caucus. And I think that's a winning formula in my estimation.
Well, it is a winning formula. It never hurts. My good friend Jim Jordan always says it never hurts to do what you said you were going to do. And for politicians, it's been largely an empty promise where they'll campaign on one thing and they'll come to Washington, D.C. They get Potomac fever. They drink the Kool-Aid and all of a sudden they lose their ever-loving minds. And when you see that, it was refreshing because Donald Trump not only made a lot of promises, but he delivered on them. You and I both know that it was not just the economy and the wage growth. And he was perhaps the most pro-life president we've ever had, and that's saying something, but the most pro-life president we've ever had. We have an embassy in Jerusalem because of him keeping his promise. But I can tell you, it takes boldness to do that. It will take a lot more boldness, not just on Capitol Hill, but in the pews and in the churches and synagogues across the country right now.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Mark Meadows, who is part of the Conservative Partnership Institute. Mark, earlier today you were on Fox News Channel and really calling out the mainstream media's coverage and the Biden administration's coverage of the China virus pandemic. And early on, you know, you guys were right on target, investigating and calling for investigations of the research facility in Wuhan. And now all of a sudden, after months of telling people to shut up, that was a conspiracy theory, lo and behold, surprise, surprise.
Well, it's surprise, surprise. It doesn't surprise you. It doesn't surprise me. And quite frankly, it doesn't surprise your listeners. What it does surprise, and the people that are actually most surprised, are the leftist media that would cover the White House, that actually they would prefer to not print or report the truth if it meant giving Donald Trump credit. And so the president was very clear early on. You know, Dr. Fauci basically said, well, it couldn't have started in a lab. And it just shows me that he wasn't reading the research that was before him and available to all those in the White House. And it's not to suggest that it's a conclusive thing, but it certainly is something that needed to be investigated and needed to be highlighted a lot more. And we need to hold China accountable. We've gotten to a point where they were not transparent, Todd, and because of that, we need to make sure that we get to the root cause of it, but also hold those responsible for their lack of transparency.
You know, Mark, real quick, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the great work you guys are doing at Conservative Partnership Institute. I mean, this is about building up the modern conservative movement. What does that movement look like?
Well, listen, that movement is more energized than ever before. I'm working around the clock. I'm two blocks from the Capitol. But it's all about being a hub and a network for the conservative movement to think strategically, to have good tactics, to actually help our members, men and women who serve in Congress, have courage. But most importantly, to be able to support the forgotten man and woman. We're here to work with the Freedom Caucus, conservative members in the Senate, and all those who love freedom and liberty.
Well, I think it's a terrific thing you guys are doing. Of course, our good friend Jim DeMint, heading that organization up, cpi.org, if you would like information. And it is a stellar staff they have there, including our good friend Mark Meadows. Mark, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good having you on the show.
All right. Well, very good. God bless. Take care. Good to be with you, Todd.
All right. former congressman, former White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, doing some great work there at CPI.org. That's CPI.org. All right, we are going to take another break. Before we do, I've got to share with you our trivia question. It has to do with steak. Now, what is Father's Day if you don't have steak, right? It is not a vegetarian holiday. You got to have steak. And here is a trivia question regarding steak. Who came up with this trip? Grace Baker came up with the steak question.
I mean, I love steak. I thought it was a good topic.
I think it's a fine topic. No complaints here. All right. Why is filet mignon cut thicker than most other steaks? Why is filet mignon cut thicker than most other steaks? Is it A, to maintain its tenderness, B, to maximize its flavor, or C, because it has a smaller shape? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Nobody knows the answer to your question about filet mignon, Grace.
We got a 1 in 3 shot, so just guess. Or hint, hint, Google it.
I like the, no, don't Google it. Don't tell people to cheat. I mean, come on. Poor Avery is already over at the Waffle House making reservations.
Yeah,
I am curious.
Sorry, Dad.
Have you guys gotten your dad's, like, the Father's Day gifts?
Oh, yeah. Did that, like, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. What'd you get?
Well,
you go first, Avery.
I can't say. My dad's an avid listener of the show.
It's not a tie, is it?
No, it's not.
So you're a winner. So you win no matter what you got. It's a win.
Well, my dad's at the lake right now, so he's definitely not listening.
Oh, he's at the lake. He yes. can't hear the show.
No.
All right.
I got him a pack. It's going to sound lame at first, but he's a big cook, okay? I got him a pack of really fancy hot sauces that he would never normally buy for himself.
Nice.
But we have them and love them. And he came over to our house and tried them a month or so ago, and he loved them. So I got him like the whole pack. It
is
comes
that
in like
right?
a fancy yeah, box and everything.
That sounds nice.
Oh, yeah.
Avery,
I would appreciate that as a Father's Day.
Do you want to give like a hint about what?
Todd's really
hint. No, I am not getting anything because, as you know, both my parents are avid listeners. And as I have said several times on the show before,
Avery's dad
mom just texted me, said that they're listening.
So let me
I
ask
can't
you,
say
okay.
anything.
So how much time and effort did you put into the gift for your dad?
Oh,
I can't answer this.
No, was it a lot of time? I mean, the answer is Todd. I struggled with this. I prayed over this. I consulted people about this. It's going to be the most epic Father's Day gift of all time.
I consulted my mother about this, if that is a good answer.
I'm just
to
trying
question.
To help you out here, trying to build it up. So
I know it's going to be a good gift. It's not just something that I saw, you know, at the dollar store or something like that.
Oh, that's
it's
good.
A good gift.
Yeah, you can't do the dollar store.
Nah.
I mean,
you can do that till you're like 8 years old, and then you got to move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I probably did that until I was about 16, but that's besides the point.
It's okay. We won't tell.
All right. So here is the question. Filet mignon, why is it cut thicker than most steaks? These are tough questions, Grace.
Oh,
is it to maintain its tenderness, maximize the flavor, or because it's small? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Who came up with the Bush question?
That was Ben.
Okay. All right. We're not going to share that one. That's not a very nice trivia question. It's mean. Anyway. Story from New Zealand, ram on the lam after a ding-dong with walkers in New Plymouth. What in heaven's name did you put in my stack of stuff, Grace Baker?
Okay, look, the headline deserved some attention. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that is an insane an insane headline.
So a ram known as Dougie was brought in from an area park after complaints he was roaming along a path and tried to butt walkers. Oh, that's not good.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. I mean, it's one thing to be on the run. A woman said that she heard something outside of her home. This woman's name is Linda Moeller. Mrs. Moeller said she heard a bleating at the door and opened it to find the ram on her doorstep. She said the ram pushed his way in. He just came into the house as if he was a dog.
I mean, yeah, like a ram. Yeah, that doesn't sound too out of character for a ram.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. I mean, you know, they're sort of, you know, I don't know, alpha animals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Mrs. Moeller said the ram was friendly as anything and was very happy to be around humans. He jumped up on the couch. She said he's a lovely boy. But she said he did try to butt her when she pushed him towards the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he ate her flowers. Oh, that's never a good thing. So
that's just rude. What a rude guess.
That's not good at all. Not good at all. So there you go. Ram on the lam after a ding-dong with walkers in New Plymouth. I guess what they call bumping into your behind in New Zealand. That's a ding-dong.
Probably. Oh, okay. Okay.
Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's chat with the lovely Doris in North Carolina. Doris, listening to us on The Talk Station. Doris, how are you?
I'm good.
All right.
Enjoying your program.
Well, you're very kind. Doris, we're going to see if we can't win you a prize here. We were talking about filet mignon, and why is it cut thicker than most other steaks?
Because it's smaller.
And you are absolutely correct. It is, in fact, a smaller cut of beef, and that's the reason why. So congratulations. Now, Doris, you got big plans for the weekend?
No. We are farmers, and our guys will probably still be in the field over the weekend. My son listens to you in his combine and his tractors.
Is that right? And what is his name?
He sicked me on to you. Rodney is his name.
Rodney. All right. Well, Rodney, we're going to say hello to Rodney out there working in the fields today. What do you guys farm? What do you guys grow out there?
Grain, corn, wheat, and soybeans.
All right. So it's always a busy day around y'all's household.
Yeah. Yep. Generally.
Well, nothing wrong with that, Doris. Nothing wrong with that. We're going to put you on hold. Tell the family we said hello, and we're going to get you a copy of my brand new devotion book. It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and Grace is going to get you info here momentarily. And, folks, that is a great opportunity for you to go ahead and pre-order your copy of Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Four more days to pre-order, and then the book is officially on sale. And if you would like a signed copy, well, you got 4 days for that as well. 4 days to get a signed copy of the book, and I really hope you do. It's a lot of fun, and it is a we had a lot of fun writing this. My good friend Michelle Cox, who writes for the When Calls the Heart series, you see that show on the Hallmark Channel. And we reached out. We were originally just going to do a devotion book, and then we started talking about recipes. And so we've got all sorts of great recipes in here, from my recipe for a homemade tomato sandwich to my mother's potato salad recipe, and, of course, good old Southern buttermilk biscuits. You got to have a good buttermilk biscuit recipe for a book about biscuits, right? Yeah, absolutely. And we have some great devotionals. For example, Move Over Barney Fife. That's chapter 17 in the book. And The Blessings of Biscuits, which is chapter 18. And every single chapter ends with what we call a little gravy on top. Those are just some spiritual life lessons that you can apply to your life. You know, you got to have biscuits, you got to have gravy, you know, or a little sausage as well. So again, I would love to sign a copy of this book for you. We're doing that all this weekend, and you can go to toddstarnes.com, and we will make that happen. And then we're heading out on book tour, which is coming up very soon, and we're going to be announcing our stops. I can go ahead and tell you, Pascagoula, Mississippi, Gainesville, Georgia, Moorhead City, Little Rock, and, of course, here in Memphis, we're going to launch the tour. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we'll be posting those announcements coming up very soon. Want to thank our great, great team here in Memphis for the great work they do. Kyle, our audio engineer, JP, our show booker, Grace running the call screening, and, of course, Avery running our live show blog. Could not do it without this great team. All right, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, folks, be sure to go to church this weekend.